Green flag.
Green flag, yeah, because we're always talking about the red flags, you know?
Yeah.
Watch out for the red flags. But no one talks about, watch out for the green flags. They're actually good people out there.
So that's an opportunity. Now that you know there's something in you that you need to actually unravel out.
Because I don't trust myself, maybe, in certain things.
Mm.
That'll be dope.
Yeah.
I've never seen you play chess, so for all I know, you're just saying things.
No, I played knight.
But I believe that if you become a worse person, that's an opportunity to fix yourself.
Like, learn to start to grow out of, especially now that I'm going to be living independently by myself. Because this is only my first year of university.
Let's get it, let's go. My name is OT.
Shashua, my name is Dandile.
I'm from Mrs.
Tomorrow morning, we're back to Chichimba.
I'm excited for another episode of the Man Cave Podcast.
Today is a very beautiful topic.
Today we're talking mental health, a very important topic.
When we say our future reimagined, we're talking about the Amatima Man Cave Podcast. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Amatima Man Cave Podcast in collaboration and in partnership with UJTV. My name is Titimba, and as always, I'm with my brother, Ofense Tabani. What's up, bro?
Let's get it, let's go.
Looking good, man.
Oh, you know.
Love the top.
Cover the man cave swag.
I haven't even received my black one yet.
You will never receive it.
How come you get it before I do?
Because black is color manyola.
Bona. So today we've got Koketso. You are Koketso?
Yes, yes.
What's good, Koketso?
Nah, everything is good.
Eita Ola. And then on the other side, we've got Lwandile.
Yes.
Ugren Jayami?
Yeah, Ugren.
Eita. And then on my right, I've got Vume Zita.
Hello.
Hey, your name, Vume Zita.
Yeah,
boy. Now in course. Is that what it means? What does your name mean?
Yeah, it's one who conquers their enemies.
Wow.
Wow.
Very powerful name.
Conquers. One who conquers enemies.
So that's the same as Ofenze.
Yes.
My name.
Yes.
Conqueror.
So we've got the conquerors on the
side,
and then you've got the bosses of the conquerors on the side.
KKTT.
So today's episode is going to deal with the issue around mental health. You know, every time I talk about mental health, and I always cringe because I know a lot of us black brothers don't like to talk about this topic. You know, we try and avoid it. We are in denial when it comes to it. Some will even go to the extent of saying it's a white thing. You know, we as black people don't go through mental challenges. What is that? But at the end of the day, we're all human. And that's something that we need to recognize and acknowledge. Mm. You know, anxiety. I suffer a lot from anxiety. And anxiety is part of mental health, whether you like it or not.
Wow.
And I think for me, my greatest encounter with mental health was during COVID, during lockdown. Mm. Because for the first time, I'm locked up in my home. I can't go anywhere. I can't go to gym. I can't do much. Can't play golf. So a lot of mental challenges were experienced during that time. How have you guys found the experience as students, you know, as young as you are? What's your take on the issue around mental health?
It's a similar thing for me during COVID as well, because it was actually my first time at home. Because I grew up in a hostel most of the time. So it was my first time with my family for that long. So I got to experience myself in a different way.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I jumped straight into, we didn't even introduce you guys. Who are you? What are you doing? What are you studying? Because it's quite important for us to get to understand where you guys are at in your lives.
My name is Koketso. You know, I am a digital creator. I study digital media design. Also radio presenter at UJFM. And I am a creative. As a bubble, yeah.
Are you still studying here?
I'm still studying at UJ, doing my final year.
Final year. Mm-hmm. So you're about to be kicked out of the system very soon. Or you'll come back and do your honours.
Of course.
Hey, Itara. And you, my brother, Lwande?
It's Lwandile Zangwa, but I'm going to go just skate because I'm a DJ. I'm just DJ. Just a DJ. I'm doing my final year as an analytical chemistry at DFC.
Analytical?
Chemistry.
Wow. Wow. And just a DJ. Let's just put him in. Yeah? Just give him a gig.
Just give me.
Hey, introducing just DJ with black coffee.
Yeah.
Can you see that happen?
Yeah.
Can you see that happen?
It must happen.
Yeah, you must profess it. There's the power of the tongue, bro.
Mm.
Let's go.
I'm Vumezi Tangobo. I'm doing paralegal studies here at APB.
What's APB, bro?
APB, this is the campus, Auckland Park, Bunting Road.
Okay, but you must educate us, but not all
yes.
of us are.
Yeah.
Some of us are old students of the institution.
So Auckland Park, Bunting Road campus, this is where I do my studies.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm doing my studies to at least have a qualification. I always did want to get into like media, into the media space. So doing writing and doing radio presenting. I'm prospectively going to become a radio presenter as well. So
I believe that.
Mm.
I believe you.
Mm.
Sure.
I'm offended, Tawani. And
yeah, Amara, I didn't ask you. We're talking about mental health. You're already.
You see, this is the problem with mental health. Let's jump into the conversation. Yeah. Let's jump into the conversation. Mental health. Big bro, I have a problem.
Yeah.
And I want to kickstart this conversation with my problem.
Sure.
I have a problem of ignorance towards mental health. And when anger issue is a mental health problem, when I get to an aggression level, my reactions become the most toxic in the room.
Sure.
And this thing comes from my student days, where I had to, you said you're from hostel.
Mm.
I was in hostel too. And
boarding school, that is.
Boarding
you guys
school.
Were in boarding school.
Boarding school, yeah. Yeah, nearly use it. I get to super tail and never know.
Every man for himself.
Yeah. So you woke up in the morning, about my 4 a.m. because the water is going to, the hot water is going to run out, you know?
First.
Yeah, so fending for yourself in a boarding school whereby, you know, you different people, different age groups, etc. We always used to fight a lot, Goskela, you know? And we never had those opportunities, such as a man cave, to come and intervene in our issues in the hostel, you know?
Yeah.
Character issues, etc., etc. So this, I grew up with this thing up until my student years, and I suppressed it so much to a point that it affected me in the outside world today. So my problem is an anger issue that I'm working on, obviously, right now, that comes from my university days. And I'd be interested to know, what are your mental health factors that affect you in university today, okay?
For me, if I'm being honest, you see, confidence becomes a big thing, especially within the media space, not just the media space, even as a student.
Mm.
So I believe that coming to uni, that's where I really found myself, right? Because like you said, you get used to a lot of people, different characters, and they help you become a better person. Sometimes they help you become a worse person.
Mm.
But I believe that if you become a worse person, that's an opportunity to fix yourself.
Mm.
It's like the problem comes up, then you can fix it then. Because if you don't find challenges, you won't find your red flags. So if the red flags come out, you know that, okay, this is my red flag. Let me fix it so I become a green flag, so I become better.
Mm.
So that's my experience.
Every time I hear that one, green flag.
Green flag, yeah, because we're always talking about the red flags, you know?
Yeah.
Watch out for the red flags. But no one talks about, watch out for the green flags. They're actually good people out there. Look out for the good traits. Well, Anjami, what's your experience when it comes to mental health and just your experience ever, Sid?
Yo, for me, it's low self-esteem.
Yeah.
I am shy.
What causes that? We talked up.
I don't know. I really don't know, but I am shy.
Sure.
Because I don't trust myself maybe in certain things.
Mm.
Just because sometimes I think it's my skin color, usually, because I go around with about light skin, all of them, and I'm the black one.
Yeah.
Sometimes
like me,
my
I'm
brother,
skin, I'm the most positive person everywhere.
My brother,
we're millennium power, bro.
So that's what shaping me.
But you know how powerful it is to be dark, bro.
Yeah, now I'm trying.
Someone will see you coming.
Yeah, now.
We enjoy a game.
He's bold.
I was not.
Never mind the smooth punchlines.
I was not expecting that.
You know, I just want to say to you, bro, having a low self-esteem is an opportunity to become the light in the room, right? No punchline, no throw.
Yeah. When I come back.
they tried to make me, I had a similar issue in high school, but I'm a rapper. So I always had punchlines. I always had comebacks for everybody. So they always gave me an opportunity to always stand out. So we stand out. So low self-esteem, is an opportunity to actually tap into the greater self.
Yeah.
So if you don't have low self-esteem, you don't know how great you are. So that's an opportunity. Now that you know, there's something in you that you need to actually unravel out.
Sure.
With the Idris Elbas of this game, the Shaka Zulu, let's get
Michael
it.
Jordan, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that man is dark, but he's got a lot of money. You can't take that away from the guy. Mm. I grew up Ekasi, interestingly enough, being called Maforster. And that had a very negative mental outlook on myself, because I thought of myself as someone or foster are cool. But then I realized, no, actually, some kids are foster in life if you think about it. We, all of us, wherever we are right now in our points in life, see foster either to get to where we're at. So why must you feel bad for someone putting it on you because when they don't have the ability to go out and get what they want? Mm. And you, how's your experience been?
With my experience, I've had to learn how to be okay with being by myself.
Sure.
Because a lot of the time, and this has been a problem for forever, I was very afraid of emotional isolation. So it's like being around as many people as possible, but having no one to talk to. That was like a thing that I had to grow out of, like learn to start to grow out of, especially now that I'm going to be living independently by myself. Because this is only my first year of university. So it's like, okay, my parents, I don't have to like always call or lean on or just go home whenever. And I'm not going to be paying for, that's another stigma right there. I'm not going to be paying for therapy. One, I just can't afford it. And two, is just not very socially accepted within the Black community, especially. So then it's like a thing of learning to find that one person to talk to, but then also learning to be by myself and know how to think for myself. Because I was taught to be a very introspective person from a young age. So know what I'm feeling, know why I'm feeling that way, and have someone to like vent to be able to learn how, like learn what to say or pinpoint what I'm feeling exactly. So it's just a very difficult thing to now learn how to be by myself, as well as learn that I'm not necessarily isolated from everybody. I just need to learn how to have fun sometimes. It doesn't always have to be a deep conversation.
Start attending just gigs.
Yeah.
Just gigs. And join my foster's man cave.
let's talk about the stigma amongst us Black people when it comes to seeking professional help. From a psychologist and people that know better about these conditions, what do you think is causing us Black people to have such a negative tone when it comes to someone saying, "I'm seeing a shrink, I'm seeing a psychologist"? There's a lot of things that are negative around that. I swear, what's wrong with you? It's not in our culture to go and sit with someone and tell them your problems. You know, Indota doesn't do that. You don't expose yourselves like that. Have you guys experienced any of that in your young lives?
I've experienced that with my dad mostly. He's very, like, it's very ironic. He was the person that taught me to be very in tune with my emotion. But I think that was because he saw where he was in life and he didn't want that same emotional and mental turmoil for me. So then, he was very much the person that was like, no, you have to go seek professional help. You have to know how to be in tune with yourself, know what's going on with you. And then when it's his turn now to go, like for the family to go, okay, it's your turn to go seek professional help because you do have issues that you need to sort out. He's very much, nah, I can do that. Real men don't need therapy. Like, we don't need help. And so then it feels very weird now that I have to be the one to tell him, okay, it's your turn to get help.
Yeah. Interesting how when the script is flipped, the advice goes away. You just spoke about how your dad gave you advice but couldn't take his own advice. Gents, Nina, how do you feel about that?
For me, it was a thing of, I won't speak for all Black people, but I'll speak for my family specifically, right?
Yeah.
So I grew up in a family where we used to joke around a lot. Like, my family, those are funny people, right? Especially on my dad's side. So for you to have serious conversations, it's quite rare. I mean, the first time I had a conversation with my dad, a serious one, was after his father passed away. And at that time, I was in my teens, late teens, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes so difficult and it feels awkward, right? To bring up those conversations, right? I remember when I told him that I'm actually going to a wellness center because of depression, right? And he was surprised. He was like, how? Drunk, how is that even
what
possible?
Happened? Were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed there at that facility, right?
Okay.
Because of the trauma that I've been with my parents' separation, with everything that happened in my childhood, I even blame myself, right? I blame myself. It's probably my fault.
Sure. Right?
So that depression is something that I covered it with jokes all throughout the years, until I went to that facility, and I was 21 at that time, right? And imagine at that time telling my father that I am actually going through something because of something that happened in the past. For him, it was a surprising thing. It was like, how? I was not aware that it affected you that much, right?
Sure. But yeah. He knew that it affected you.
I don't think he did. Sure. I don't think he did, because it's a conversation that we're not used to having, right? Mm. Like I said, we joke around a lot. We cover everything up with jokes, right? We joke around with our problems. Hey, you have a problem? Oh, that's funny. Mm. Let's make a joke about it. We laugh, it's fine.
Yeah.
But then you realize that's not really a good thing.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
And the problem is sometimes you realize that too late.
Yeah.
Like I told you, during COVID, that's when I realized a lot of things, because I had a lot of time to reflect.
Mm.
Then I realized, no. Was that thing, so I had to accept it and I had to go seek for help.
I just want to say that laughter is a healing mechanic. Never isolate that. That's why comedy plays a huge role for healing depression. I watch a lot of comedy because I go through a lot as well as an individual, obviously. And it's healing, bro. You find comedians who bring content that has to do with what you're actually dealing with, but they have a healing element towards their exit strategy, that when you leave that comedy show, you come out a better person. So never, ever isolate comedy or laughter as a healing factor. Keep laughing, bro. I crack jokes with TT. Why?
Yeah, you know? That's what he knows. I mean, that's his life. Yeah, this is mantra.
Yeah, because I'm laughter. Yeah,
laughter is quite a therapeutic.
It's very therapeutic.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that we should be talking about.
Absolutely.
What are the healing mechanics of what you've been through? Just what are the healing mechanics that you're putting into your life right now for your low self-esteem?
Yeah, I think putting myself first, not forcing or wanting people to be in my space. I can be alone and watch on my TikTok or YouTube, and I'm more focused on YouTube just to laugh, just to watch and have fun with myself. Not be in a space where I will feel bad or feel not wanted. Yeah, but be putting yourself first.
And DJing as well.
And DJing. And I'm a resident DJ here. It's
That's awesome. DJ
FM, I mean, music is therapeutic. You know, they say there are two things in the world that can unite anyone in the world. It's music. And what's the other one?
Isn't it comedy?
Sports.
Oh, sports.
Think about it. Think about
you're
it.
You're on that, yeah.
Think about how united we are when Bafana Bafana play or when the Bokers are out there. You know, it's what unites us as people. Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk more about, you went into this wellness center.
Yeah.
How was the experience going in there? What was your attitude going in there? What was your attitude whilst there? And what's your attitude now that you've been there?
I'm super grateful that I went through it. And especially I went through that before I came to uni. So straight after matric, I took a gap year. Then, and like during the gap year is when I realized that, I need to go there before I actually came and moved to Joburg. For me to go there, it wasn't something that it was surprising on my mom's side, right? But on my dad's side, it was very, very surprising. I think my dad is the only person that I've told. My uncles, my cousins, whoever, they don't know that, right? So I had to forget each and everything that I thought I knew. I had to, whatever barriers, whatever walls that I built for myself, I had to break them loose, because that's the only way I was going to be able to heal. So when I got there, it was a wellness center and a rehab center. So there's people that have been through the worst of the worst. And I could see that people, whenever they tell their stories, they become so emotional, right? Yeah. And that allowed me to do that as well. I was able to talk about my stories. I was able to talk about my traumas and to ensure that the people there are able to help me, right? So after that, I looked at life in a different way. I stopped judging people, right? I understood that hurt people can be healed. I understood that
Hurt people can be healed.
And I understood, I used to judge people who go through addiction, but I understood that addiction is a disease. You just want to cope. You've been through the things that you've been through. You just want to cope. You use different ways to cope. For you, it's laughter, it's jokes, it's stand-up comedy. For you, it might be music. For you, it might be the end of a whiskey bottle, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge you, right? Because you think that that's the healthy way, but sometimes it's not. So I got to learn that there's healthy ways to deal with your issues.
Damn. Yo. And would you recommend for someone out there who's young, maybe they're going through what you went through in the transition from school into the varsity life, and maybe they also want to take a gap year, would you advise them to seek professional counsel?
110%. There's no doubt on that.
Wouldn't that depend, though?
I think so. It's all relative. Yeah. So, I mean, not everyone can afford to take a gap year. Let's start there. Your economic circumstances might not allow you to even take a break because of your environment at home. Maybe you're forced to go straight from matric straight into
uni. Yeah.
Not even uni. Going to go into the workforce. You have to go become a waiter. You have to go earn your stripes because you don't have the backing. Kohai. You know, I think we must also always talk from all points and not just from one point of privilege in everything that we say and everything that we do, because there are other people that don't have that privilege of going to seek counsel. But I think it's important to have these conversations. You said earlier on that you are a loner.
Yeah.
How do you get to a point of defining yourself as such?
It took a very long time because I used to be a loner before, especially when I was suffering with my own mental issues. And this happened a lot, especially as you guys brought up during COVID, because as COVID happened, now I'm at home with my family 24/7 and I don't feel comfortable opening up to them. So I'd much rather spend time in my room. Then I got out of that stage in my life as more introverted, became a very extroverted person. Even when I was an extroverted person, though, I always wanted to be in the company of other people. So I just went from one extreme that was unhealthy to the other extreme.
Yeah.
So then I had to learn that I need to balance it. So it's like, of course, no one should be in isolation for too long, but you have to learn to know and be comfortable by yourself. So then it was very much like a thing of learning how to enjoy things that I would enjoy with other people. So listening to music or cooking for myself and just having very therapeutic hobbies. So hobbies where you can just like put your work in and then be satisfied with what comes out. Yeah.
I just want to express, bro, listening to the guys talk, it's very important to acknowledge that going for therapy is the best thing any young man can do for themselves. Whatever you're going through as a young man, the best thing you could do for yourself is to be a part of a man cave where you can be accessed to therapeutic opportunities such as sports, music, such whatever it is. He strikes me as a golfer, by the way, and he looks like he's got a meaner swing than yours.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's meaner than mine, but I think he could try and show up, you know?
You play sports?
Yeah, I do. I play basketball.
And you?
Nah, I don't.
DJ is a DJ. Hey? There's no time.
I'm just a DJ.
DJ.
Okay, what's your thing?
Sports. I used to play a bit of chess back in high school.
All right. I want to challenge you on a game of chess one day in the man cave.
That'll be dope.
Yeah.
I've never seen you play chess, so for all I know, you're just saying these things.
No, I played knight.
When no one can see you.
Striking into something more serious about mental health, what has been your lowest of lows? Have you ever found yourself thinking of suicide?
I have, but I still don't think that was my lowest. I still think I had a lower, but I somewhat knew how to deal with it.
Wow.
What does it mean? Please.
Lower.
So the lowest would be when I thought I had lost everything, when I just kept making mess up after mess up and like nothing was going my way. And I was like, damn, okay, I've literally got nothing right now. Like nothing is going right for me. And but I still didn't think of not existing. It was very much a thing of looking at it and going, this is a time when I really feel I should just give up. Like, not give up on life, just give up on whatever I was doing. Like, not trying again.
I get it. So it's living, choosing to still live and accepting that this is my life.
So you're just existing.
Yeah, just existing.
Anything. But literally. Who's around you at that time? Who are you talking to? Who are you confiding in?
That was the worst part about it. It was like 2022.
Yeah.
So it was like after COVID, which was another big low for me. But I had just like decided I'm going to be a homebody. I'm going to stay at home. I don't want to do anything. Because it was like I didn't want to try anything because I was afraid of the failure or afraid of the judgment of doing something new. So
very deep.
It was very much like, you know what? I'm fine with existing because I don't want to scare anyone, but I don't want to do anything. So I think that was scarier than, for me at least, that was scarier than just not existing at all.
I'm interested to know the type of suicidal thoughts you had. Did you sit at any point and think, this is how I want to plan my exit?
Oh, it's happened, definitely. Whole elaborate plan that happened and but I didn't, like, it was a whole elaborate plan, but I didn't really have anything concrete in place. So yes, there were different strategies that I was thinking of, but nothing that was really, what's the word for it, nothing that was really cause for concern for anyone, because I never really had, it was very much sure I had those thoughts, but I made sure that they were in solutions where I could only get those things if I was really desperate. So, yeah.
Just?
Nah, I haven't.
You've never experienced suicidal thoughts?
Mm-mm.
So in the lowest of the low that you've experienced, you've alluded to the fact that you've had a low self-esteem because of your skin tone. You never got to a point where you're like, "Entle kazin, I can drink say hleli le lime clubin, abangboni anyway."
Nah.
It's not really suicide, but you're okay with not living anymore. If it ends, it's like, it's fine. I won't cause the ending, but if the ending does come, it's fine.
TT, you want to give the suicide hotline for everybody out there who's going to be tuned into this?
I don't know it. What do you know it?
TT, it's on Men Cave.
You
hotline.
Should be doing the research as my AG to check for me. I'm busy here trying to get the conversation going. This guy is busy. Anyway, we'll give the hotline. I think it's important to have such hotlines available for someone who might be watching this particular episode and they are going through a depression of sorts. And you must never underestimate when someone is acting like they're all put together. You know, we can all dress well, but we carry a lot of scars inside. True. You know, we carry a lot of childhood traumas that we unfortunately don't express. And I think that's why we've got this Man Cave podcast, because we want you gents to be able to articulate yourselves the best way you can. What advice would you give to a fellow UJ learner or student who's going through depression right now and they don't know what to do? Like, they are surrounded by so much around them. There's so much pressure around them in terms of what their parents expect them to deliver academically. Some of them are probably on scholarships. There's that pressure to deliver, because once you don't perform, you're going to lose that scholarship, unfortunately. Some of them are on NEFSA's funding. It's a lot. What would you say to someone like that?
For UJ, good thing about UJ is that they offer services, psychiat, that's what they call it. So where you get psychological help.
What is it called?
Psychiat.
Psychiat. Is there a number that...
There probably is a number.
Okay.
Yeah, there probably is a number. If you go on Google and just say PSYCAD, UJ, you're probably going to find it.
100%.
And it's available for all students. So go ahead and talk to someone. They are willing to help all the time.
And that suicide hotline is 0800-567-567. That's 0800-567-567. And just mention that PSYCAD again. Just spell it again so everybody can jump onto it.
PSYCAD.
PSYCAD.
Lwandile, wena, if there's a student that's going through low self-esteem, let's talk to something that you can relate to. How would you advise them to come out of that low feeling into a high?
I think it will be accepting yourself the way you are, and embracing your skin color or whatever that makes your esteem low. I think that just accepting yourself and not try to make others don't try to make others to love you or be with you, even though they don't want to be share space with you.
That Aisha felt it. Are you guys at any point in your lives ever finding yourself in denial of how you truly, truly, truly feel?
Oh,
and
it
you just
has,
keep suppressing this?
It has happened before, but I'd say that was when I was much younger, as a teenager.
Yeah.
Because it was very much... I also went to a boarding school, so I grew up in a hostel. The culture there didn't allow for people to really express what they were feeling, because then it would turn into a big joke. So it was very much like you feel something, but then you find yourself being in denial of it or using jokes to cover it up or minimizing the problem.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the number for PsycHead, right? It's 011-559-3324. That's for the Auckland Park Kingsway. And the Auckland Park Bunting Road, which is this campus, is 011-559-1318. Thank you, Kay.
Thank you so much, OT, for that. I want to give an opportunity for each of you guys just to give us your parting shots around the topic of mental health, whether it's advice, whether you want to say something very special to somebody who might be going through it and might need just that word of encouragement. We'll start with you, Vume.
I think I'll do a word of advice. Because I particularly, my biggest suffers right now are anxiety, depression, and even borderline personality disorder. So my biggest word of advice, which sounds very generic, but I promise you it will help, is just to take it as slow as you can. So find things that are urgent at that moment, complete those. If it's a small thing that you can do, just do something small so that you can carry on building exactly what you need to get to. Because if you start with the small things, you can get to the bigger things, because you'll have the confidence once you've completed the smaller things.
Sure.
And the smaller things, it doesn't have to be making your bed or taking a shower. It can be as easy as, let me pick up my clothing from the floor and put it in the washing basket. You don't have to do the laundry. You just need to pick up the clothing, put it in the washing basket.
Sure.
And then from there, it can be, what is my urgent task right now that I need to complete? I'll do that. But do it over time. Take it very slow.
Sure. Good advice. Randile?
I will say resilience. Ndoda mo wavo itad.
Sure.
Don't wait arasu. With back paramis.
Awuzwa.
Vuga itad. That's what I can say.
Yo. Vuga ugeze ubangene. Vuga ugeze ubangene.
Yeah.
Njalo.
For me, actually, I just wanna echo what they said. Yeah, you wanna accepting yourself, and comparison. Comparison is the killer of joy. Comparing yourself to someone else, it's human thing. It's a human thing, but try to avoid it as much as possible. Right? Even growing up in the hostel, a hostel is a hostile environment.
Hostile.
It's a hostile environment, because, especially for me, in the school that I grew up in, my school, it was a horror school, so it was very, very sports orientated, right? And being the only disabled kid in the whole of the building, the whole of the hostel, comparisons are going to happen, sure, right? You'd love to play sports, you'd love to go out and run around with other kids, but sometimes you can't. And accepting yourself and accepting that you are in that situation is one of the things that made my mental health kind of go down.
Yeah.
And especially accepting that it's never going to change.
Yeah.
Right? So accepting yourself and decreasing your rate of comparison, that's one advice I'll give to someone.
Sure. Thank you for that. OT, wow. Your parting shot, bro?
My parting shot is, we are all kings. We are gods. We are supreme. We dominate. This is the man cave, baby. And we are here to take over the world. My man, you and I need to start something. And you and I starting the first Man Cave basketball team from UJ. We're doing that, right?
We're doing it.
Because he can't play.
I'm a golfer. We're doing it.
To play with him. And we're doing the chess team. So we're going in, big bro. What's your parting shot?
My parting shot, firstly, thank you, Vume, Randile, Koketso. Thank you for sharing your experiences. It's important for us to make sure that this Man Cave really helps others out there. And for me, my parting shot is that mental health is a reality. You know, one thing I can encourage you, if you're watching this, is just exercise kindness, because you don't know what the next person is going through. Whilst you exercise the kindness, subscribe to the Amatima YouTube channel, subscribe to the UJTV YouTube channel, and let's grow this together. Whatever happens in the man cave,
stays in the man cave.
Sivale.
Let's go.
Let's go. Thank you, James. Thank you.